Hello friends, it's a privilege for me to be with you. In these challenging times, many times people wonder, what should I do? How should I pray? Why would God allow me to struggle? How can I get an answer to my prayers? And many other questions. Have you ever been in a challenge, in a situation, in a crisis where you don't know what to do, you don't know how to handle it? You don't know what to pray for. You don't know if you receive an answer. You don't know when. I'm going to give you a quick story and a few points. Not that they are the answer, but they may be some suggestions that would help a little in this process. And so I'm going to explain very shortly the background of the story. Long time ago in Romania, during communism, it was very difficult to get in the university. You would not just go to school, register, pay the fee, and that's it. You would have to go through 3 days difficult exams. First day, it was 8 hours mathematics, 2 hours trigonometry, 2 hours geometry, 2 hours algebra, 2 hours calculus, 8 hours. Next day, it was 8 hours physics, 2 hours mechanics, 2 hours electric physics, and so on. And next day, 8 hours languages, 2 hours dictation and composition, and so on. 4 different exams, 2 hours each, 3 days, 8 hours a day. Many students would pay tutoring for years. Very famous, well-known teachers were paid to tutor students so they would be admitted in the university. And there was every year a very small number of openings. We call them seats. Very small number. For instance, when I went to Construction University, there were over 970 students. I don't remember precisely the number, 974, 75, doesn't matter. Over 970 students competing for 10 openings. Basically, only the top 10 would be admitted in university. Didn't matter if you had a 3.9. If there were 10 that had a 3.92, if you're the 11th, you are out. And so, I was admitted in the university and I didn't pay anybody for tutoring. I learned alone. And I got in as the fourth one among over 970 students. So I was kind of very, 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 right now I say proud. In that time, I thought I was not proud. I was just happy. And I called my dad and I said, you know, I got in. I am in the university. I'm going to have a better life, better salary, better position. More comfortable, you know? And my father said, why are you so happy? Well, I'm going to have a better life. And my father said to me, isn't it always in our life all about us? I have a better life. I have a crisis. I am sick. I have a wedding. I'm going to get a car. Oh, my car is broken. It's all about us and what happens to us. And my father said, shouldn't it all be all about God? And I said, well, what does he have to do with it? I mean, I can have a nice job and a nice car and a nice house and love God. And my father said, yes, you can. But the question is, what are you focusing on? Who comes first? I said, well, God comes first. And my father said, are you sure about it? I said, oh, yes. You're sure that God comes first. You focus on him. You don't focus on job. You all you have, you use it for him. Not saying that we should all give up jobs and become pastors or Bible workers or evangelists, but that wherever you are, whatever God gave you, you use it all for his honor. You do it all as you do it for him. So when people see you, they can see God's love in you. So you are a light, you are a salt for them around you. You are a blessing. So my father said to me, are you sure that you use it for God, not for you? I said, well, I use it for God and I use it for me too. My father, no, cannot be both. Either you are the king or God is. I said, no, God is the king, but I use the school for me. My father shook his head and he said, you don't get it. And yes, sometimes we are so focused on self that sometimes we don't fully get it. And so I went to school. I forgot the discussion with my dad. About 2 months later, the rector of the school, he called me and he said, Pavel, and maybe you have heard the story before, but the lesson is what is important for our subject today. And the rector said, Pavel, you don't come on Saturdays to school. And we did some research, and you don't go camping, we would forgive that. You are not sick, we would forgive that. You go to church. This is a communist country. We don't believe in God. There is no God. You cannot, in this country, have an influential position like director or teacher or engineer. You cannot be a religious man. You cannot talk about God. You cannot believe in God. You are not a good example. In a communist country, people in leadership should never believe in God. They should go against God. So you got to choose God or job, God or education. Well, that was a tough choice. So guess what I did? It was a crisis in my life. So what I did, I prayed like every good Christian. I prayed for 2 days and two nights again and again, many prayers. I got no answer. It's like when you pray and you go to prayer struggling and you leave prayer still struggling and you get no relief, no answer. Your prayer bounces against the ceiling and back to you. And I really struggle. Why would God not answer? So I call my dad and I say, listen, God doesn't answer. And my father said, what's the deal? Well, I'm losing school. Why did you pray for? I said, well, I'm praying for my education and my future. And my father said to me, whatever you have, God gave it to you for him, not for you. God wants you not to be blessed in a selfish, self-focused, self-centered way, but to use whatever he gives you to be a blessing. And all things work together for the benefit of those who love God. If God allows it, he may try to teach you a lesson, but he loves you and he will work for you if you learn the lesson. And he said to me, God didn't give you a school so you have a good salary or a good education or a good future. God put you in the school so you are an example for those students and those teachers because they don't know God. God didn't give you a job so you have a salary. God put you there so you are an example for those co-workers. God didn't put you in your neighborhood so you have a house, but that you care for those neighbors because God loves those people. And so my father said to me, you should pray not, Lord, save my education, save my job, save my future, save my health. But Lord, if my presence there would be a blessing for you and would help people know that there is a God and they would have a chance to be saved, please let me there be there and please let me witness for you through my life. However, if my presence there doesn't serve you and if you want me to lose school, I know you love me. I know you know the future. So I'm going to trust you and give you permission to do whatever you want with my education. If you want to put me in prison like Joseph, if that would serve you, I let you do that. I said to my father, are you crazy? I don't want to go to prison. I don't want to lose school. No way. I'm not going to pray that prayer. And my father said to me, in the Bible, Jesus says, who doesn't give up mother and father and school and self is not worthy to be my disciple. In the Bible, Jesus says that who wants to save his life or his school or his job will lose it. And who is willing to lose it for God will save it. And my father said to me, you need to put God first, above school, above job, above health, above life. We need to put God first to the point that all the other things disappear and you trust in him. That was a tough sermon that he gave me, to put God first. Basically, he said to me, if you love God more than anything, then it doesn't matter. I said, well, I love God, but I want school. My father said, well, you want God or you want school? I said, both. He said, well, you cannot have both. I said, why not? There is nothing wrong in school. I don't cheat. I don't lie. I don't kill. Why not? And again, he said to me, it's not that you cannot have both. It's that you need to make sure who do you put first in your heart? Who has priority? If you love God more than school, more than family, more than self, if you put God above, then should you say, Lord, I would like to be in school, but I love you more. So do whatever would honor you and serve you. You come first, not school. I said, well, I love God first, but I really don't want to lose school. My father said to me, well, then you love school first. And you think that you love God, but whatever comes between you and God, that's what you worship. That's your idol. That's your God. I didn't like it. And my father said to me, go to prayer and surrender all. Surrender all. It's a lot easier to go to church, to keep Sabbath. What is good is wonderful, you should. But it's a lot more difficult to fully surrender and trust in God's leading. Go to prayer and surrender all. And let God do what would serve Him, what would honor Him. And if you put God first, God is going to work the way He knows. You may lose school, but God is going to provide for you. He promises if you put His kingdom, His righteousness, His service first, He promised and He cannot lie. He will take care of you. He says, when you go through waters, I will be with you. I inscribe you on my palms. I love you more than anything. Even if the mountains will move, my love will not move from you. Even if the mothers will forget their children, I will never forget you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you because I love you. So put Him first and then decide to trust Him. I went to prayer and I said, Lord, I have really hard time to say this. I would really like to be in school. But if you want me to lose it, I give you permission to do whatever you want. Don't do what would serve me and my future and my job. Do what would serve you, your honor, your work, your purpose. I'm going to put you first. If my presence in school would help those people to know you and be saved, please let me serve you and be a light. If not, I should not be there because wherever I am, I need to do it all for you. When I pray that prayer, in that second, instead of struggling, when I fully surrendered, in that second, I had extreme peace, a peace that I cannot explain. I had a sense of peace that I didn't feel the need to continue to pray. I knew that He knows. I knew that He knew my problems before I was born. I knew that He loves me because He gave Jesus, and He has a thousand ways that I cannot understand. And I said, I trust in you. Though I don't know, I'm going to decide to trust in you. And I started to sing, and I had joy and peace. And He, when you surrender, He gives you a peace that surpasses human understanding. I went to school. It was Thursday. The school secretary, Mrs. Radu, said to me, Pavel, please don't be fanatical. Come to school on Saturdays. Who cares? There is no God. Come to school and you can pray in your mind. I said, no, no, no. If you compromise a little today, a little tomorrow, very soon you are going to make a lot of compromises. You'll be not hot, not cold, lukewarm. You cannot be with both God and the world. You got to choose. And I said, I'm not going to compromise. She says, nobody can save you from a communist government. They have the power. I said, lady, my God can save me from any government. She says, you are crazy. Have you seen God? I said, yep, yesterday in prayer. She says, you are crazy. You need to go to the doctor and be checked, you know. I said, lady, I've seen God. You have not seen God. She says, I would love to see Him. Why doesn't He show up? I want to see Him now. I said, well, if He really showed up, it would be Hiroshima for you, basically. I hate to use the word, but you'll be disintegrated. It will be the end of your life. God is gracious enough not to show up, but to show you His love through different means. She says, whatever. I don't believe there is a God. I don't believe anybody. I want to see what God can save you from a communist government. I went back home. Friday, it was supposed to be my last day of school. I went to school in the morning. She came to me and she says, Pavel, I don't get it. She was pale. She was like sick. I said, are you okay? Do you have the flu or something? She said, no, no, you don't know what happened today? I said, no, I don't know what happened today. She says, do you know the president, Ceaușescu, the president of the country? I said, sure. I watch him on TV. She says, no. Are you friends? Do you eat together? Do you talk together? I said, no, lady, who can get close to that guy? She says, do you know anybody in the government, close connections to the president? Do you have friends in the government? Nope. All I know about government, when I don't have money to buy flowers for my wife, in front of the government building, there are thousands and thousands of roses. I go there and take a rose for free and give it to my wife. That's all the government I know. She says, you are crazy. You don't know what happened today. I said, no, unless you illuminate me. She says, the president spoke at 7:30 a.m. on the television. He addressed the country and he said, we must save the economy. Therefore, starting today, I'm going to give an executive order, or I gave an executive order. Starting today, all schools in the whole country would be closed on Saturdays. There will be no more school, no more AC, no more heating, no more power. We are going to save so much money. And she says, Goya, if this law came next week, you would have been basically expelled without any right to register in any school for the rest of your life. It would have been the end of your education. And she says, I cannot believe God did that for you. I told her, I said, lady, I prayed 2 days and two nights for me, and God didn't answer. When I surrendered myself and prayed for his honor and for you, then God did it. God didn't do that for me. God loves you just as much as he loves me. He did it for you, not to help my education, but to help you know him and be saved. My friends, going back to the initial question, we do have challenges. The Bible doesn't say if you go to waters. The Bible says when you go. It's a matter of time. You will go to waters. You will go to fire. But the Bible says that when you go, you are not alone. The question is, when you go to waters, are you focusing on you, your problems, or you focus on God and his honor and fully surrender and decide to trust in him and say, Lord, I know that you know. I know that you love me. I am your child. You gave Jesus on the cross. Please help me to focus on you. Help me to fully trust in you, though I don't feel it, though I don't know what's going to happen, though I don't understand. Help me to focus on you, on your precious cross, on your amazing promises, because you are God. You cannot lie, not because of me, but because of your character. Your promises are absolutely secure. Help me to focus on you, your cross, your promises, and do to me not whatever would serve me, but whatever would serve you. Help me to put you first. Whatever would honor you. Because if you honor God, God will honor you. If you serve God, it is amazing, the God of the universe would serve you. If you take care of God, he will take care of you. When you go to him and pray that prayer, you'll not see a thunder, a bomb, a lightning. You'll not see anything instantly. But as soon as you give God permission to work, he will start working. And he will provide for you better than you can pray or think. I'm not saying that we don't have challenges. I'm saying that you will not go through them alone. You'll have peace, faith, joy, assurance, because God is going to hold you by hand. Moreover, when you put him first, it is safe for God to give you blessings and power. If you put yourself first, God cannot really give you blessings and power because you are going to use them wrong in a selfish way. That's the reason Jesus says you pray and get no answer because you pray amiss. You pray to use them wrong. But when you put God first and give up self, sacrifice self, like Paul. Paul says, I've been crucified. I no longer live. My will is dead. I have God's will. I die daily. For me, I consider all things a loss. When you put him first and die to self, that's the reason all the people in the Bible, all the people of faith had power. Because they put God first, not self. They forgot self. They didn't expect to be served, but to serve. They didn't expect to be blessed, but to be a blessing. It's a greater blessing to bless than to be blessed, to give than to receive. When you put God first, it is safe for God to work with power in your life, because you are going to use that power for his glory and to be a blessing for others, to be salt, to be a light, to pray for others, to love the neighbor just as you love yourself, to spend time in prayer for the neighbor just as much as you spend for yourself, to care for the neighbor for food or for clothing or just to listen or just to talk to them as much as you care for your own family. When you start caring for people, it is safe for God to work amazingly in your life because you are going to honor him with those blessings. May God richly bless you. May God richly come in a way that you would sense his presence and trust in him. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, what a promise that if we put you first, you'll provide the other things. You will give us gardens that we didn't plant, homes that we didn't build, victory over armies greater than us. You will do as you did for Jehoshaphat, as you did for Joshua, as you did for Gideon, because nothing is impossible for you. Help us not to focus on miracles, not to focus on answers, but on you. Not to focus on self, but on you, your honor, your glory, your service, and for focus on people around us to be a blessing for them and to serve. Help us then to fully trust that you know everything, that you are in control. You are not sleeping. And you care. And you will keep your promise. And as you provide for birds and for flowers, you will provide for us. Let us focus on you and allow you to take care of us. We pray in Jesus' precious, powerful name and in his merits alone. And thank you, Lord, for answering. Amen.